Hi, this is Christopher Perrin with Inside Classical Education. On this podcast program, I interview a variety of leaders, administrators, and educators on topics relating to classical Christian education and its ongoing recovery and renewal in the 21st century. Archives of previous interviews can be found at our blog and podcast site at www.insideclassicaled.com. We are here talking with Ken Myers of Mars Hill Audio. Ken, you have recently interviewed James K.A. Smith, who wrote the book Desiring the Kingdom. And in that book, James K.A. Smith contends that we need to learn anew how to embody learning and education. In other words, unless we're showing and modeling for students what it means to love the right things, can we really expect to raise up disciples? Can we really expect to raise up disciples by simply communicating the data of a Christian worldview without embodying its various practices, disciplines, and worship and so forth? Could you comment on that?
My undergraduate work was in film studies, and I mentioned I was involved in music early on. So involvement both in music and film, I was aware at an intuitive level that you can't separate form and content. I mean, we tend to think, a lot of modern people tend to think that you can separate form and content. And that's also there's kind of a Gnostic assumption in that as well. So the idea that education is seen as a communication of ideas, and we'll use whatever techniques we can to most efficiently transmit information from one database to the next database. I also think in a lot of church life, discipleship is seen as getting people excited about the truth. So we have the truth, which is content, and then we use whatever form is necessary to incite the will in some way. But it's not really inciting the will. It's inciting kind of ephemeral desires very often. Let's get people excited about the truth. I think a lot of teachers probably struggle with that. You know, how do we motivate students, get them excited about the truth? Well, if you think of the truth as something that's abstracted from life to begin with, it seems to me you've already created a problem. But that truth is about reality. And this is the thing that in reading a lot of materials from classical Christian school movement, the stuff I read talks a lot more about truth than it does about reality. And Francis Schaeffer, I remember years ago, people would joke about the fact he talked about true truth. He used that phrase, and people picked up on that. Well, there's a sense in which I think what we need to recover is a sense of real reality. That's because it's the truth about something. It's always truth about something. This, again, the modern mistake is the truth lives out there. It's like some abstraction that's not about something. Truth is about something. So as soon as you realize that it's truth about reality, and that reality, and this is a point that Lewis is brilliant about, reality isn't something that can be reduced to statements about it. Reality is something, that's why imagination is important, that's why metaphor is important, why ritual is important, because reality can be known not just through analytic statements about it, but reality is known in other ways. It's known, and it's known through embodied action. So I can't remember what your question was, but that's, it seems to me that the classical Christian school movement, I think the thing that first intrigued me about it was that there's a primal recognition from the beginning that form and content can't be separated, that the shape of pedagogy, the form of instruction is not something that's entirely disposable or interchangeable, but that there's something. And when I first read Sayer's Lost Tools of Learning, way back when I was in college, actually, I think the thing that struck me was she says, well, there's a kind of givenness to human nature, that education has to, education works best when it
works with the grain of
the givenness of human nature. So if there's a givenness to reality, again, all part of the givenness to reality. Lewis in Abolition of Man, again, says that the cardinal problem for the wise men of old was how to conform the soul to reality. Now, if you don't believe that reality has a shape, and he goes on to say, you know, for magic and applied science, it's mm-hmm. how do we remake the world to shape our desires? Mm-hmm. So, but if there is a givenness, I often say that the goodness, not just affirming the goodness of creation, but affirming the givenness of creation mm-hmm. is essential. Mm-hmm. So creation, that the material world is a good thing, but that in our experience of the material world, there's also a kind of given shape that fits best the kinds of creatures we are. Mm-hmm. So that's why the shape of pedagogy matters, and that pedagogy has to take into account all of the contours of human nature. You mentioned mm-hmm. James Smith's book, that we are worshiping creatures, that we mm-hmm. that we're creatures ordered by love, not just ordered by will or ordered by rationality, and that rationality and love and will are all actually intertwined in some significant way.
Thus, he says, there needs to be a pedagogy of desire.
Yeah, exactly. And that's he begins, Lewis begins The Abolition of Man talking about how it was assumed for most of Western history that the universe was the sort of place in which certain emotional responses were appropriate, mm-hmm. that some things really are repulsive, mm-hmm. some things really are dreadful, some things really are awesome, mm-hmm. and that the task of teaching is to train young people to perceive that it's objectively there, mm-hmm. but it has to be subjectively received before the fact that it's objectively there doesn't mean that that each individual will infallibly perceive it without help. Mm-hmm. That's one of the Enlightenment mistakes. Seems to me one of the mistakes of the Enlightenment is assuming that, well, if there's truth out there, then everybody should be able to know it without any help. Mm-hmm. But that's not true to the kinds of creatures we are. We are creatures who live in community. We're creatures who live within bonds of love and mutual need. Mm-hmm. And so it turns out that we learn to know the world best by submitting to teachers, that's not as independent explorers who mm-hmm. find things on our own, which turns out to be impossible anyway. Mm-hmm. You grow into a language. You grow up with a language, which means you already grow up with all kinds of resources that your community has given you.
Ken Myers of Mars Hill Audio on the subject of embodied learning. This is Christopher Perrin for Inside Classical Education, found on the web at insideclassicaled.com.